Welcome to Pop Culture Roulette for all your pop culture needs. We're America's podcast. Welcome, everybody. Normally, I record Sunday nights. I think most of everybody know that. But because of the Packer game, because of other stuff, life got in the way. We didn't record. And because of that, I'm bringing in a pinch hitter. I'm bringing in another game show person. I'm bringing in Charlie. Charlie, how's it going?
Oh, it's doing great, Nicholas. It's great to see you again. How you doing?
Oh man, it is. We are under imminent threat of snow. I don't know how. I mean, you're not that far away from me, so I don't know if you've got the winter storm warnings heading your way as well.
We had a little snow on Saturday. I'm just outside. I'm a half mile from the Chicago border, and we have not gotten snow today. It's all melted again. It's weird.
Oh, we're getting the threats of starting sometime tomorrow morning, a couple inches through maybe 6 to 7 throughout the day, or nothing, one of the two.
Yeah, we're the same boat as you. We're
and
supposed
then
to have some overnight. We'll see.
And then the weekend we're supposed to just get hammered. So,
Oof.
but you know,
Never,
hey,
never fun.
the life of living in the Midwest, right?
Exactly. Just another day in the cold tundra.
Now you are going to be the first publicly out Chicago Cubs fan we've ever had on this podcast.
Ooh, okay. I'll wear that with a big badge of honor.
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever asked anybody if they were a Cubs fan before. So, you know, but I know that you live in Chicago. You were born and raised in Chicago.
That's right. I grew up in the northwest suburbs just outside. You are all about pop culture. I'm from the area that Mean Girls takes place.
Ah.
Yeah. Not this specific high school, but the general area.
Okay. So you're close to the fake town that John Hughes invented, right?
Yes, and in fact, a lot of John Hughes movies and scenes were filmed in the same junior high I went to.
Ah, well then.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you can see are the when they, you know, when he goes around the loop in the car when he picks him up from school,
Oh yeah.
pretending to be her father. The background behind is Maple Junior High, where I went.
So it's not even a high school that they filmed at. They filmed at the junior
So
high.
they pick up from the high school, but the junior high is across the street.
Oh,
That
okay.
road
Oh,
separates
okay.
the junior high and the high school. That's Glenbrook North High School, which I
Ah.
did not go to. I went to Glenbrook South.
Ah,
The junior high
yeah.
splits 50-50.
I'm a big fan of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. John Hughes in general, but Ferris Bueller's Day Off is one of my all-time favorite
It's
movies.
a classic. It really
It
is.
really
Circle
now.
back, and they have a film of scene at Wrigley.
That is
Right back
true.
to the Cubs.
Now, I know, Nor, I told you we were going to talk sports, and we'll get there, but we got to establish a few things first. Did you say you went? Now, I don't remember the text, but so I had Nick on a while back, and we were talking about a bunch of stuff, and he talked about touring with Fall Out Boy. And then you texted something that I had not heard that you never told us at the entire time we were down in Atlanta. You went to junior high or high school with Patrick Stump?
Yes, he grew up in Glenview, actually, the same town. And his family actually lived right down the street from one of my closest friends growing up. He went to Maple as well and Glenbrook South, I'm pretty sure. And I also believe he performed in the variety show, like the big school, and he was playing drums then too. And yeah, he's I believe 1 year above in school.
Oh, okay. So it was not like you guys were like, you know, close personal
Yeah,
friends
he
and
wasn't
everything.
in my classmate, but we had mutual friends, and I knew of him.
I would listen to that man sing a phone book. So so that's yeah. All right. So obviously we met doing We Are Family. We can talk a little bit more about it now than I could with the last couple of We Are Family guests.
Yeah, we actually have an episode on TV already.
And I will say that I was quite impressed with the amount of alternates that made the first episode.
Right.
So my wife has not obviously met any of you guys, but she's seen your pictures and she's heard a bunch of stories. So she immediately picked up on, hey, that's Tim, that's Charlie, that's
Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun watching Tim jump up and down and you doing the fist pump.
You're gonna see a lot more of that, I promise you.
Yeah. So, I haven't made it yet, but I'm thinking based on
Happened in the first one.
what happened in the first one and then with what's been released about future episodes, I think there's a good chance I might have a at least been seen on the third episode of the
I
season.
agree. I think you will be for sure.
So hopefully I at least get the Nick clap, like a couple seconds of
Yes, our good pal Tim, who is our social media guru, he will be making lots of GIFs and lots of screen shares for you.
So
I know it's coming. I'm just certain of it.
I know that I got well, I don't know how much we can go down that road just yet. So I'm sure
Yeah, you'll have to
and
bring us back after.
I'm sure and after, I'll bring a few of you back and we'll have some more general behind the scenes and some other stuff. 'Cause the first episode, one of the guys that I talk with, he finally watched it and he was like, I can't believe how many people didn't get Joel McHale. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm shocked by that too. And it will get dumber when I can tell you a behind the scenes story. Little tease, little hint for you to keep you
I
coming
don't know. I
back.
don't know how you felt about it, but after watching the first one on TV, it sounded like they sounded much more clear than when we were in
Yeah,
person.
I did. Somebody said, I was like, so another friend of mine was like, I don't can't believe you couldn't get it based off the voice. I'm like, I don't remember hearing it that well.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I saw on TV the first time, the first bar he sung, I was like, "Yep, you could tell."
Yeah. So, but I wasn't in the room for that episode. So I have to defer to your guys' knowledge on what it sounded like. So
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what
Yeah,
my opinion.
you'll definitely have to have me back after all 10 so we can circle this conversation currently with a big red mark and then bring it back for a part two.
Right. This is just a tease,
Exactly. Gotta hook 'em.
a pecan of what's to come. So anyway, but right now, the reason I wanted to bring you on was that you are kind of a sports guru of sorts, and you're probably the like. Would it be fair to say gambling expert?
I would say that's fair. I'm
Okay.
very knowledgeable about the area.
Okay. So we are at the end of the NFL season. The season ended. Today is technically Black Monday, which is surprising that only as of right now, two coaches have been fired.
Right. Few rumors for a few more, but only
Yeah,
two official.
but was normally on Black Monday, the heads roll much faster. Arthur Smith getting it was of no surprise, and I'm sure all fantasy owners everywhere rejoiced.
And he had a nice parting gift for Dennis Allen at the end of that game.
Yeah, well, I will say this much. I do not believe in running up that running up the score in the NFL is a problem. You're a paid professional. If you don't want them to score, stop
Yeah,
it.
I hear you. I think they're more upset is because they lined up in the kneel formation and then kind of tricked them into the play. Supposedly that came that didn't come from the coach though. Supposedly the players in the huddle decided to give Jamal Williams his first touchdown of the season. So
Hey, and I mean, at
it's
some point,
football.
it's football. It's professional football. You're getting paid millions of dollars. If you don't want them to score, stop it. That's a different conversation I'm having with high school.
Yeah, definitely.
There is such a thing as running up the score in high school football. There is such a thing as bad sportsmanship in high school. Any more in college, I don't know, because those guys are getting paid. I mean, Look at the pictures that Caleb Williams put out of his penthouse, and you're like, this guy's getting paid more than some rookies are. Like
Yeah.
he might be losing money going to the NFL.
Yeah, and Michigan had a big push for NIL money to keep a bunch of players, and they're playing in the national championship as we speak.
But the NIL money has changed the landscape of college, not just football, but sports in general. It hasn't changed college basketball yet. But I definitely see it coming. I know that it's changed women's college basketball.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't, I, they're gonna have to figure out to even it back out because it's basically just gonna be your Power Five conferences
Yeah,
and
the
nobody,
rich are feasting.
right? Because the super rich alumni of Alabama want to keep Alabama up top. And, Alabama obviously has a lot more super rich, alumni than, say, Southeast Louisiana State.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
And Bama has no problem keeping guys, that's for sure.
no. And Bama, even if, like, say, Kentucky or Tennessee has richer alumni, Alabama is going to still be Alabama.
Yeah.
I would say, all right, so this will be where I start because this is we fired Arthur Smith, we fired Ron Rivera. There's possibility that the Vegas job is open, but honestly, at this point, if you don't give it to Antonio Pierce, you deserve all the bad things that happen to you.
Completely agreed.
John Harbaugh is clearly leaving Michigan.
I have a big Michigan fan friend who doesn't seem to think it's as big of a lock, but I'm with you. I think he's going to the NFL.
I think it's about as much of a lock as I can possibly give it because for two reasons. One, win or lose the national, win the national title, he's conquered college football. Obviously, he doesn't have the Nick Saban numbers of, six or seven titles that Saban has. But the hammer that is about to come down on the University of Michigan is gonna hurt. And it's gonna hurt bad. So I think you have only to look at well, it's been a lot longer than a couple years at this point, but look at the hammer that came down on USC when Pete Carroll was there, and
That was ages ago.
saw how fast Pete Carroll jumped ship and went to Seattle.
Yeah.
Before as the hammer was getting ready to swing, it hadn't even fully swung yet. He was like, "Ooh, I'm out." I have no doubt in my mind that there are not franchises in the league right now that would fire their coach if they thought they had a chance to hire Harbaugh.
Yeah. He'd be an upgrade for a lot of places real fast.
So where do you think he's going? I'm hearing Vegas is a possibility. I'm hearing San Diego is a possibility. I've heard for most of the season that the smart money was Chicago, but the Bears seemed really dead set on keeping the guy who is not a good head coach in Eberflus.
Yeah. And being from Chicago, I have lots of opinions on that. But you got he had a 12-game stretch in which they were like 7-5, and everyone sees the momentum building. So I think if you would have had me on 6, 7 weeks ago, I would have told you it's 100% he's gone. I think it's 50-50 now. I think for sure Getsy will most likely should be canned. Green Bay is familiar with him. Your Green Bay audience. I don't even want to go into his play calling, but I will be very surprised if he is still a Chicago Bear coach before you actually release this episode. But could be wrong.
Getsy
Getsy.
or
I think Getsy
Eberflus?
for sure. I'd say Getsy like 99%, 95 to 99% Getsy gone. Eberflus, I would have
And
said the same about 6, 7 weeks ago, but I think it's
I
50-50-ish.
know they just gave him the vote of confidence yesterday after the Packers beat them. But I wonder how fast if John Harbaugh says, "Yeah, I'd actually come," if they wouldn't fire Eberflus in a heartbeat if they could hire John Harbaugh.
See, I don't want to hit a sore subject for your Milwaukee audience, but it kind of reminds me of the Cubs situation where if Craig, a guy like Craig Counsell's available, David Ross, you were going to stay, but sorry, it's an upgrade. I agree with you. I see the same thing there. I think it's a step up for sure, no question. And if Eberflus could stay as a defensive coordinator, I think everyone in the world would sign up. I just don't know that he would take the step down, so to speak. But if they're going to fire him anyways, that's probably what he's going to end up, is my guess, is he'd be back to a DC role.
Right.
So maybe you work something out with him. Hey, we'll extend you longer. You want to stay? I don't. I
Yeah,
just.
I would have
It's
a
a
hard
it's a
time.
sli yeah. It's a tough
I could
sense.
see him going back to being a DC, but just not in Chicago.
Yeah, that's. I think that if that's what would be most likely. If Harbaugh comes in, the whole everyone is gone.
Yeah, well, because he'll want to bring in his own staff anyway. I mean,
Yeah.
most of the time, if you're firing a head coach, you're firing pretty much every key staff member anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, speaking of people possibly stepping back into defensive coordinator, what do you think's going on with Belichick? What would be your
He's a guy, I think, that makes a lot of sense with the Chargers. That's where I think he would like to go. I mean, what more can you do in a cold environment of the Boston area? He's won so much there. Now he can go enjoy a semi-retirement in the nice warm California sun and still coach a little bit.
I've been hearing a lot of people say that, and I have a hard time believing in a guy who wants to be head coach and general manager would be willing to do it. But I've heard a lot of people talking about him stepping back and just becoming a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, that I don't see. I could see him coaching without the GM tag, maybe, but
Well,
I don't see
honestly,
him not head coaching if he's coaches.
if I'm the Chargers or the Falcons or whoever, is looking to hire and Belichick truly is out of New England, maybe even Washington, I'm saying you're coming here as the coach, but you don't get to be general manager. We've seen what you can do there for the last couple of years and,
That that's the scenario I think is most likely, personally. I think if he's not going to be a head coach, he'd rather be like a special assistant to the GM or some more cushy front office job than a DC, but
I've
who
also heard
knows?
people say that Belichick might go to TV, and it's just like, unless there's a personality in there that we've never seen before.
Yeah, I don't see that either. I think the second most likely option is the special advisor role in some front office somewhere.
All right.
Still can kind of be involved and hands back a little bit.
All right, so we're gonna play Explain It to Me Like I'm Five.
Okay.
And you're going to explain to me how, I mean, I understand spreads, like a 3-point spread, a 4-point spread, four, I understand that. What I don't understand is when I look at the odds and it's like minus 210 or plus two, negative,
I got you. That's what I'm here for.
Okay, so we're
If
gonna play this
you'd
game.
like, I will pull up right now the actual current NFL first weekend ones, and then that way
Right,
we can use those as an example.
let's do that because I also was curious to see where you were going to lay the odds down on betting anyway.
Oh yeah, I can do, we could see how I do. I can give some picks and we'll see. Okay, I have it open. So your first question was the minuses, okay? What you're referring to there is the money line.
Yeah, the money line, that's what. See, this is how little I know about gambling. I forgot that's what it was called. Because I know spread. Because like, if it's a 14-point spread, then you tell me that you think it's going to be somebody's going to win by two touchdowns or more.
Exactly. And in your exact 14-point spread, if someone does do that, it'd be a push.
Okay.
So
So.
if you were betting on the favorite in that 14-point scenario, you'd want 13 and a half to win it at 14. And if you're betting on the underdog in that scenario, you'd want 14 and a half to win it at 14.
Ah, okay.
If that makes sense.
It makes a little more sense. So that's why they always do 13 and a half or 12 and a
Well,
half or
they do have whole numbers, but in that scenario, you could push or tie. But like looking at the board right now, in fact, this is a perfect week. There's six games. Only one of the six has a non-whole number. Dallas is laying 7.5 to the Packers. So your Green Bay friends, if they want to bet the spread with Green Bay, they get 7.5. So they win or lose by up to 7, you would win the bet. Whereas if you're playing the money line on Green Bay, you're only being paid if they win the game.
Oh, okay.
And in this scenario, the Packers are plus 305, and
Okay, so
the that's
this is where I get confused. What does that mean?
plus 305 means for every $100 you bet, you would win 305.
Okay.
And on the reverse side for Dallas, usually, so the house usually in a point spread bet, typically if there's no lean, both sides you'll see a minus 110 on a point spread bet. That means you're risking 110 to win 100. So let's say you took Green Bay plus 7.5, 110 to win 100, and I took Dallas minus 7.5, 110 to win 100. The book would collect the 10% on each bet. If you won, you would collect your 100, and then if I lost, I'd lose my 110. So in the book, basically, his goal is to get as close to 50-50 as they can get, and they just it doesn't matter who wins or loses to them. Now, there's plenty of times where 70% of the public is on one side and the house is rooting for the other team because they have more exposure. But basically that's how the works. So in the money line example, Dallas at minus 375, the money lines, they usually spread a little deeper so they get a bigger vig or juice. And so minus 375 means you have to bet 375 to win 100 on Dallas just to win. But if Dallas wins 21-20, you win that bet. Whereas if you make the same bet on Dallas minus 7.5 and they win 21-20, you lose that bet because the Packers would have covered.
Okay, so if I lay down $375 on Dallas, I only get $100 back?
Win. If you
Okay.
put up 375, let's say if you go to an actual casino to make the bet,
Right.
you give them 375, they print you a ticket that says 375 to win 100, total payout 475. So you'd get
Oh,
your
okay.
initial risk
Ah,
plus the
okay.
100 profit.
I was about to say that what would be the you'd lose 275 at that
Yeah,
point, but okay, all right.
that would be like the Family Guy episode where Peter walks up to the thing and he says, here's $100. I'll just take whoever loses. And he just hands it to the casino and walks away.
Yeah, no, yeah, that, yeah, okay, all right. So that makes okay. So now I understand it a little bit more because I never really understood exactly where it was. Okay, so basically the scenario here when I'm looking at the money line, it's always the standard bet is $100.
Correct.
Okay.
And it's essentially plus 375. It looks, if you think about it like that, if you just use decimals, you'll just know that essentially that's 3.75 to one,
Okay.
if that makes sense.
It is starting to make a little bit more sense now. Okay, so if I put down
Like here, we can do an example. Pick a different game. You pick the game and I'll read you to you.
let's see, who is Pittsburgh playing this weekend?
Pittsburgh's playing Buffalo.
All right, let's do that
So
one.
Pittsburgh and Buffalo. Buffalo's a heavy favorite, the biggest favorite of the weekend. They are minus 525 to win the game, and Pittsburgh is plus 375 to win the game.
Okay. So, I mean, the better bet is, I mean, obviously they don't think Pittsburgh's going to win, but the better bet is to throw 100 down on Pittsburgh because you would get your 100 back plus 375.
Correct. But you would need Pittsburgh to win the game. Whereas if you threw your 100 on them getting 10 points, if they lose by 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 9, you win your bet. And if they lose by 10, you tie and you get your full risk back.
Okay. So you have to, but all right. So if you want to get $100 on Buffalo, you have to lay out 525
On them just to win, correct.
just to win. Okay. So that,
Yes.
the see, that doesn't, I mean, I get it. You get $100. And if you're that confident that Buffalo is going to win, which honestly seems like a pretty sure thing, but that seems like a lot to lay out just for $100.
Yeah, believe me, there's plenty of weeks where they like to call those upsets parlay killers. We can get into that in a little bit further getting into the betting world, but yeah, there. I tell you what, though, for the last few weeks in the NFL, that size favorite has lost. two Sundays ago, the Eagles were even bigger favorites, like 13, I want to say it was, against Arizona. They were minus like 650 or 700, and they lost that game at home when they needed to keep winning for seeding in the division.
Yeah, but I think there's something else going on with Philly. I don't know what it is. I mean, I understand that Philly lost the game to Arizona. Arizona seems to be a bit of a giant killer this year because they took down Dallas, Philly, and then didn't they end up beating Seattle yesterday?
No, Seattle beat them by one.
Oh, okay.
Arizona
Well,
missed a 52-yard field goal as time expired.
ah,
And
okay.
that missed field goal gave me first place in our confidence pool. Had he
Oh.
made the kick, I would have finished second.
Oh.
So I will say thank you. And Arizona fans deep down were probably happier because it kept their pick even better versus a meaningless win.
Right, yeah. I mean, and it's so weird at the end of the season when you're having to root against your team for the
Right.
better, like, you go back to the suck for luck, and it's like, man, like I get it, like I understand, but there's no
Yeah.
in
Not the
the
lottery system like they have in the NBA and now MLB.
right, which I honestly think might be better because then it would keep you from tanking the way that
Yeah.
some of these teams do. And I don't think the NFL draft is as much of a lock as it used to be.
Oh yeah, there's definitely plenty of hit and miss in the first round, second round. I mean, you're gonna have the quarterbacks excluded. You're gonna have the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year was taken in the fifth round, shattered every record out there.
I mean, look, Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant.
Exactly.
Tom Brady, who I fucking hate, was in the seventh round.
Seventh round, yep.
So, for every one Peyton Manning, there's a lot more Tom Brady's and Brock Purdy's.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I saw something one of the recently that it's like almost 50-50 on first round quarterbacks hitting. And that, I mean, that's no guarantee.
Well, and I think that's as much to blame with the current NFL system as it is the college quarterback like crossover. I think you're seeing a perfect example of why the old system works really well in the NFL right now. I think had you put Jordan Love in as a day one starter after you traded up to get him 3 years ago, he would not have been as good as he is as was this year.
No, I completely agree.
I think him sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, even if Aaron Rodgers didn't work with him, sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, sitting next to him in the game or in the film room, watching how it happened, taught him things that he never would have gotten had like Justin Fields. Like Justin Fields, who knows? I think he's terrible, and I think Ohio State quarterbacks are as overrated as they come. But I can't say that if he hadn't go to a system where he got to sit behind somebody for a year or two or 3 years, maybe he doesn't step in and be a better quarterback.
Yeah, I think there's absolute truth to the guys learning from a good veteran.
And so I don't know when the switch happened in the NFL where if you get, drafted, like where you're guaranteed pretty much to be sitting behind the veteran for another 2 or 3 years. Two, if you get drafted in the first round, you have to start. Like, I don't know when that happened.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a newer thing.
But it is, I think it's hurting the product that's on the field. I think we have a lot of these, quarterbacks coming into the league who are not as polished or as ready as they think they are, or as the because you look at like Jalen Hurts. I mean, he didn't play real well. I mean, he also didn't start his first year as much. I mean, I think injury brought him in faster, if memory serves.
Yeah, and he's had some great seasons, and then all of a sudden, I don't know what's happened to them this year. They're the biggest. I can't figure out that team. They were like 10-1, and then I think they finished 11-6. Is that right?
11-6, 11-7, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is mind-boggling. It really is. I mean, There was a point in this year where I was like, it's between Philly and San Francisco. That's the NFC Championship game. And now it's like, well, it's San Francisco in the NFC Championship game. In fact, let's just go ahead and mark them into the Super Bowl for the NFC. Because, I don't see anybody else in the NFC having the ability to take down that team. I have no. I would love to see Green Bay beat Dallas because, well, I hate the Dallas Cowboys with a burning passion. Plus, I am now a Packer fan, so I don't know if the Packers can do it. I just they're such a young team, and they had to really kind of turn it on the last couple weeks just to make it into the playoffs. So there's going to be a maybe a potentially emotional letdown, or alternately, we go to the Steelers that, when they backed their way into the playoffs a couple years ago and they just got hot at the right time and rolled right to a Super Bowl victory.
Well, here's a stat to keep your Packer fans at least somewhat optimistic. The Packers have never lost in AT&T Stadium since it opened. They are 5-0 against Dallas in that stadium.
Man,
I know it.
you've got a lot of things working either for you or against you with that.
So you get either way, one record has to give because Dallas went 8-0 at home this year. So
Right.
someone's O is ending.
Right. So you have, somebody who's never lost in that stadium
Or
or
someone who didn't lose in that stadium this year.
Right. I mean, I will say that McCarthy does choke. McCarthy loves to choke. I could go through, countless numbers of playoff systems in Green Bay when he blew those games, and it was everybody loves to try to blame Aaron Rodgers or whatever, but because Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. But you look at that Seattle game, and I think it was the NFC Championship game, or it was the game to get to the NFC Championship game, where the Packers could have been up like 21 nothing, like 3 or 4 minutes into the game, but he kicked a field goal every time instead of going for it. And
That I feel like is another night with more analytics in sports in general. I think you're seeing a lot more aggressive coaching because of that.
yes, but also McCarthy and his stupid prevent defense that he would do if he ever had a lead. And he's like, oh, it's I've got a big lead. It's not Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll and Marshawn Lynch over there. Ah, let's just back everybody off. What do you mean they came back and won?
It'll be it. You're in the area. How do Green Bay fans feel about McCarthy? Do they, is he, was he, was he well liked overall?
He was until the end, and I think people were just tired of it because he's a Super Bowl winning coach in Green Bay, so
Right. Pretty much, kind of a lifetime pass,
right,
so to speak.
but at the end of the day, like, I think people were starting to see what I saw from the very beginning, the prevent defense when you had a lead. Or, if you had a lead going into half, you knew the other team was coming back, and making the game way too interesting in the second half. You had Aaron Jones for a couple years there with Mike McCarthy, and he didn't use him. And because Mike McCarthy doesn't believe in running backs, apparently, and well, I would say you can see what he did with Ezekiel Elliott, but Ezekiel Elliott was kind of towards the end of his career when McCarthy got down there. But I mean, you can see it with not necessarily committing to Pollard or whatever else down there in Dallas. I mean, they're doing better this year, but I don't know how much of that is McCarthy and how much of that is just that they have a stacked defense.
Yeah, I was hoping that Dallas did not win the division because I don't believe in them too much away from Dallas. But now they have the home game, maybe two home games, depending on what else happens. But I still, to your point earlier, I don't think they're going to beat San Francisco in San Francisco.
No, I honestly, for me, looking at the playoffs, I'm looking at it and just from not somebody who bets, as somebody who won his fantasy football league.
Yeah, you did.
Which that I don't know how I pulled that off, but that was an accident. But I did it, so yay me.
Shout out to the great Baker Mayfield. Just
Oh
winning
man.
championships left and right.
Well, I saw a stat that 59% of every team, everybody in fantasy that drafted Christian McCaffrey,
McCaffrey, yep.
made it to the championship game. I don't know what the percentage was for winning the championship.
The league that I won, we were one of the 41%ers. McCaffrey's team was not. I beat a guy that did not have McCaffrey, and I did not have him either, which was
Oh
interesting.
wow! Yeah, there you
One of the
go.
few examples.
I mean, I played so poorly all year until the last, little bit of the season. I had to win two games in a row just to make the playoffs, which I hadn't done all year. Win two in a row, and then I had to win that game by at least 23 points because the guy it was the
Tiebreaker.
there was the tiebreaker. The guy I was playing had the, like it didn't matter. Like we are going to end with the same record if I won. But if I had only beat him by like four, even though I won the game, he still would have been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then I crushed him. I won the blowout trophy that week on Yahoo. And I'm not going to say I know how I did it. I just got lucky and I made some right picks finally. But
That's really what it is in fantasy football. It is a lot of luck. The skill gets you to the playoffs, and then from there anything can happen in a 1 week matchup.
But I'm looking at the NFC and I think you have a chance of a team getting hot and rolling into San Francisco and staying hot. But I just don't see how anybody can beat San Francisco in the NFC. I mean,
Yeah. I think the winner of the Stafford Goff trade game, each playing against each other, I think that team would probably give the toughest game to San Francisco, from what I've seen. I mean, unless the Eagles somehow can turn a light switch back on, the way they're playing right now, honestly, Tampa might beat them.
I mean, I just after I mean, 1-6 or 1-7 the last half of the season, like that's
Yeah,
bad.
they
That's
were 10-1 and finished 11-6.
bad.
That's
That's
not
real
good.
bad. Not,
And
I mean.
two losses were to the Giants and Arizona. So
You'd almost rather be in a situation where like Green Bay, I mean, and I'm not saying that Green Bay has a legitimate shot of winning the Super Bowl. I'm just saying I'd rather be in a situation where you have a super young team that doesn't know better
right, nothing to
and
lose.
they've got nothing to lose.
They don't understand the moment, the pressure as much.
Plus, after the way they've played the last 2 weeks, I mean, they're on fire and they believe in themselves. They can go in, and if they go into Dallas and take care of business, that's a dangerous team. I don't want to face that team, even though they're coming to your house.
Yeah.
But they're prone to making mistakes because they are so young and they don't, they haven't been there before. That, I mean, obviously the Packers have been there before. They've got what, five or six Super Bowl trophies hanging out up there in Green Bay.
Yeah, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I know they've got a bunch.
But this team as a whole is like the youngest team in the league.
Yeah.
So very few of these guys have even been to the playoffs, let alone, I think they've watched some Super Bowls. But so I don't know. But for me, the AFC is wide open.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the Dolphins look good half the season.
They're getting a couple of big weapons back for the playoffs.
So, I
They're a
mean,
different team at full strength.
I know Andy would love to see it, but Miami is not as streaky as Philly has been, but you don't know what Miami team you're getting. The team that scored 70 or the team that led up 60 something or 50 something. That has to be some sort of NFL record to have a game where you scored 70 and then a game where you let up almost 60.
Yeah, honestly, I'd be surprised if, I mean, how many times in general has a team hit 70? Not many.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, the Bills, I mean, Josh Allen and that team as a whole. I mean, Josh Allen makes mistakes, but he also fixes them,
Yeah, two of those throws he made last night were some of the most ridiculous throws I've ever seen. That one to Diggs was ridiculous.
Oh, let's see who else is in the AFC. I can't remember who all made the playoffs. I know the
You've got the Browns are playing at the Texans.
Okay,
That's
and
the
that,
first game of the weekend on TV.
yeah. I don't know how to feel about that game because I don't want to root for the Browns. Because I don't want to see a team that rewarded Deshaun Watson with one of the biggest contracts in NFL history do anything.
Oh yeah, but wouldn't it be just so funny if as soon as he's gone, they turn it around and then win without him?
I mean,
Honestly,
yeah.
that kind of would that just kind of sticking it to him.
Yeah, and quite honestly, I kind of would like to see the Browns go farther. I know it's very hypocritical for me to say one and then immediately turn around and say something else, but that's the world of a sports fan. I would love to see Joe Flacco get another Super Bowl.
How crazy would that be?
But I mean, at
He
the
was
same
sitting
time,
on his couch a month ago.
well, and the thing that that blows my mind is that when Aaron Rodgers got hurt, Joe Flacco called the Jets, and they were like, "Not good, no. I'm good. We got Zach Wilson."
Yeah,
And
can you imagine if Flacco played at this level for that Jets defense?
that team would be where they thought that team was going to be with it.
They'd be the 11 and wild card Browns instead of them, probably.
Yeah, I mean that team would be that Joe, you know, a Joe Flacco led Jets, maybe not as powerful as an Aaron Rodgers led Jets. But I would be much more comfortable and confident in saying the Jets would be in the playoffs this year had they not tried to stick with Zach Wilson, who will be playing fantasy football next year with the rest of us.
They're shopping him. I just when I saw that I was like, who okay, what are you gonna get for him? A seventh round, sixth round pick at most?
Yeah, I mean, no, yeah. Okay, so Dolphins, Chiefs, we talked about Browns, Texans, Rams, Lions. That's,
The Stafford Bowl.
yeah.
Got the Eagles, Bucks, and then you've got Pittsburgh, Buffalo, and then the two byes, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, that's a weird game. I mean, you know, I think we talked about that a little bit. I mean, Buffalo is obviously a prohibitive favorite, but it's Mike Tomlin. It's the Steelers, it's the playoffs,
Yeah.
and it's a
That's
Steelers
a tens
team.
a lot. Tens a lot of points, especially for a playoff game.
And it's a Steelers team that halfway through the season, people were talking about Mike Tomlin getting fired. I
And
mean,
add another year to the streak of not being under 500. It's
yeah.
incredible what he does.
I mean, we have to really legitimately talk about Mike Tomlin in the same category as we talk about Shula or Belichick or, you know, some of those guys. Because I mean, how long has he been a head coach and he's never had a losing season?
It's been almost 2 decades,
Right.
if not more.
I mean, granted, he's only got one or two Super Bowls with Pittsburgh, but you know, I will say that the Super Bowl is overrated. I mean, obviously it's going, you know, it's the championship and it's your goal every year. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about individual accomplishments, you cannot tell me that,
17 seasons, 2007.
jeez. But you
That's
can't tell
incredible.
me that, like, I'm trying to think of who has two Super Bowl wins and or well, okay, let's not even two Super Bowl wins. You can't tell me that Trent Dilfer is a better quarterback than Dan Marino. Because Trent Dilfer has a Super
Nick
Bowl win.
Foles.
Yes, Nick Foles is a better, you know, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. Dan Marino never did. You know, John Elway almost ended his career. He just happened to get lucky and play for a team that, you know, dragged his limp near dead body over the line 2 years in a row. You know, so you can't sit here and tell me that, like, you wouldn't take Dan Marino or Warren Moon or somebody like that over Trent Dilfer every day. But Trent Dilfer has a Super Bowl.
You can make a lot of those examples.
Right. You know, so you can make the art. I mean, if I guess if you have to sit here at the end of the day and look at the numbers between Manning and Brady or, you know, Favre and Manning and you know, those guys, and you can say, well, you know, Manning only has two Super Bowls compared to what, six or seven that the Tom Brady has, and you know, I'm still going to say that Eli, not, or not Eli, well, I might say Eli, but Peyton is a better all-around quarterback than Tom Brady ever was.
I'm on that camp. I'm a big Peyton guy.
Now, Tom Brady played for better teams. You
Yep.
know, the Patriots were a better system and a better organization for longer than the Colts were.
And it's funny too, a lot of people will have that conversation, and then Brady leaves, takes Tampa to a Super Bowl, and now all of a sudden Belichick's out. I mean, I'm with you. I just know that that's a big topic of
Well,
discussion.
I for and honestly, for years I had argued that the only reason that Brady had anything was that Belichick was the reason, and it was the Patriot system. And then he goes down to Tampa and wins the Super Bowl, and I'm like, well, okay, that made me look stupid. But then the last 2 years of Belichick in New England, it's like making me look even dumber because now I was like, I've been laying it all at Belichick's feet, and you know, now it's like, oh, okay, well. But at the same time, like how much of Brady and Belichick was he the general manager?
Yeah, I don't think he really did that much until later on.
Right. And so when I think, you know, it's the proof that like the head coach should not be the general manager. I mean, the nail in that coffin went a long time ago, and you know, because I remember it used to be a big thing, and I feel like in the 90s, maybe even before, maybe early 2000s, when I know, like, what's his name? The guy who was before McCarthy, Sherman?
Yes, Mike
No,
Sherman.
I know he left Green Bay because he wanted to be general manager. I think the Falcons had a guy that want. I mean, I know there were a lot of coaches that want it because they want to have all the control over their team. But it's like
And the
you,
player personnel, yeah.
no, you worry about the X's and O's. Let somebody else worry about you. Tell them what you want and hope that you can work well with your GM. So let's switch gears a little bit. I know, you know, it's football season and we're in the middle of the play at the beginning of the playoffs, but we're. As much as I love football, there's one sport I love more, and that is I am a diehard baseball fan, and I'm pretty sure I think, based off of what I see in the background of your room there and conversations that you and I had, as much as you love football, you are a much more bigger baseball fan.
Zero question.
Okay. What do we as baseball fans do about this Dodger situation?
Number one, try to get an owner, try to get our favorite teams to get their ownership. That's number one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Get rid of Artie Moreno and bring in some Dodger ownership, maybe.
I'll tell you what. We'll have to revisit this in about 10 months from now or so, 11 months from now. But how funny would it be after all that if they do the pull another Dodgers, they win like 109 games, and then you get like a hot 84 win Diamondback team who knocks them off in the first
Again?
round. You can pick a different hot team, but
I know I yeah. Well, somebody I saw on Reddit today, it was like how because they signed Teoscar Hernandez today.
yeah, late last night,
Late
23.5
last
million.
night, yeah. And somebody posted on Reddit was like how much did the power of friendship hurt the Dodgers? And immediately referring to the Diamondback team that took them out, you know, because
Right,
yeah.
exactly.
You know, and there is something to be said for that. I mean, I think that I mean I do think that the Dodgers are spending all the money. They are clearly printing Monopoly money and spending it right now. They are trying to buy themselves a World Series in a way that we haven't seen in a long time. I mean, I know the Yankees tried to do it there for a while. I mean, on paper, it's going to be hard to beat the Dodgers. I mean that lineup top to bottom with, you know, it's a killer lineup. I mean, how are you going to pitch to that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. It is. And then for a while you thought, okay, well, they don't have the pitching, and then they trade for Tyler Glass now, then they sign Yamamoto.
Yeah, I mean, and is Kershaw coming back or is he healthy? I can't remember.
He is still unsigned.
Okay.
I've a lot of people still seem to believe he'll eventually sign a 1-year deal with the Dodgers, but at the current moment, he's still out there.
I think that what the Dodgers are doing right now is going to do something that we haven't seen before, and I think that it's going to make the Players Association and the owners kind of come together and be like, we need a hard salary cap.
It's been talked about. I just don't know how soon that's gonna happen,
No, I mean,
honestly.
I'm not saying it's going to happen next year because, you got expiring contracts, and I don't know how much longer the current
I think
agreement is in
they
place.
just redid the CBA either last offseason or the season before, and I think it was a five-year deal, I want to say.
But I would guess that if the Dodgers keep doing what they're doing even before the season starts, next CBA, a hard salary cap will be negotiated in because it's not. I mean, if the Dodgers go out and win 100, what is the record for the wins? 120, 122? If
Yeah, right around there.
if they
One.
go out and win 130, 140, and don't lose in the playoffs.
There's the, I, you know how baseball is. There's just no way a team's gonna win that many games. It's too fluky.
No, you're right. I mean, but I'm just saying, like in a random weird scenario where that happens, baseball will be so infinitely uninteresting
Yeah.
that there's going to have to be something done about it. I mean, and I do think that based off of what we've seen in New York in the past, both New York teams, sorry, Tim, attempting to buy your way into the playoffs or buy your way into the World Series does not tend to work. It works in football. Look at what the Rams did a couple years ago, but then look at what happened to them for a few years.
Yeah, and look at the most recent baseball season. You have three of the top four or five payrolls in the sport miss the playoffs. Can't forget the Padres.
Because I think there's something to be said for baseball because it's such a long season. You need you well you first off you have to depend on players not getting hurt.
Definitely.
And but I think that as much as you keep throwing money at players and buying the best players, if that team doesn't work together, if that team doesn't gel together, look at the Diamondbacks, look at the Brewers, look at
The
other team,
Orioles.
the Orioles. A team that works together, look at the Devil Rays or the Devil Rays,
The
how old are
Rays,
they?
yeah.
Look at the Rays the last decade or so. Like that team
That's
is
a well-run organization.
right. And I mean, I would say St. Louis. I know this year they had a really bad year, and for them that's an aberration. Because 99 out of 100 seasons, that team is in contention for the playoffs and always a thorn in the Cubs and Brewers side at the end of the season, if not already ahead of the Cubs and Brewers. I
Yeah.
mean, that is a team that is just top to bottom run with class. I mean that you might not like them because you're a Cubs fan, but you cannot deny that the Cardinals organization is top notch.
Oh yeah, it's great.
And
They
that
do a lot of things right. And they just today hired the old Tampa and Boston exec, Chaim Bloom. So the rich get richer.
it's and with St. Louis, that a bad season is not going to be a long-term thing,
Yeah, it's interesting how it was the year Yachty left. Like, talk about holding a clubhouse together. Like, you lose one of the game's greatest catchers, not only, calling the game himself, but like that's a thing that's underrated. As I had a feeling that St. Louis was going to regret signing our former catcher, and I mean they had him not catching after what, a month and a half, 2 months into the season.
Yeah, I can't say I kept up with St. Louis too carefully, but
They're
I
gonna
know.
they're they have they signed him for like 5 years and like 82, 83 million, and that was year one
Well,
as a catcher.
for me, there are certain players that should be 100% first ballot guys, and there's not been enough of them because there's a couple of sports writers who believe that nobody should get into the Hall of Fame at 100%.
Yeah, I know. And
Which
then see, so it's funny is I hate the ones that do that But there have been a few now that their people are starting to share ballots, there have been a few guys leaving a player off because they're certain he's going to get enough votes to get in. And then they'll, because you, as a writer, you only get vote for 10 players.
Right.
So some of them are using one or two guys they feel are locks to then keep another player or two on the ballot a little longer. Someone was writing about that a couple weeks ago. I'll find the article and send it to you after. But I found that was a little interesting.
No, and I mean, I guess I understand the reasoning there a little bit, but at the same time, like, there are just certain players.
Yeah, like Ken Griffey.
Ken Griffey Jr. was one of them. Cal Ripken Jr. was another one. As much as he has the most punchable face in all of baseball, Derek Jeter was another one. Yadier Molina is a first ballot guaranteed 100%. Like, you should get all the votes. You know, I
Yep.
mean, he is one of the greatest catchers that ever played the game. You know, now, and I know his bat is, and that's where the argument about people are voting against him are gonna be, well, his bat wasn't as strong. Well, yeah, but look at the, you
You
know,
got to
the
compare it to the position.
right, you know. So, you know, the consistency of what he did play, you know, calling the game and just, you know,
Completely shutting down the other team's running game.
Keeping his pitchers in line, making Chris Carpenter's career, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I would say that, and I didn't even think about that as to why St. Louis had such a down year, because they lost. Basic. It's. I can't imagine it's going to be another year or two before Yadi's coaching somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. From what I've heard, he wanted a little time off, which makes sense.
Right.
But I can't imagine him, at least it not in some capacity, involved in the game.
Yeah. Looking at that, what we know about the Shohei Ohtani contract, first off, how does every other team in baseball not offer him the same contract? Because the thing is, his agent and him were saying, well, we offered this to everybody.
Yeah,
There has to
I think a
to
lot of
be.
people did offer it. I think he wanted to go to the Dodgers the whole time,
Right. I think there's
and he
that.
was just trying to squeeze out every last dollar.
I think there's that. I think that was, I mean, I think at the end of the day, that's what it has to be. Because, I mean, if you offered the same deal where, like, you can pay me all this money, but only pay me 2 or 3 million a year until a certain time, I don't know. I wonder if there's not language in that contract that hasn't been made public yet that scared some teams off from doing it. I mean, he had made it very clear that he had no intention of going to the Yankees. I know the Yankees really wanted him, but he didn't want to play in New York at all. You know, I don't know why he wanted to play for the Dodgers so badly. I don't.
I think he loved the LA area, and then he doesn't really have to move, and now he's going to an organization that has, other than the World Series, which kind of like the Super Bowl, anything can happen in the playoffs, but the Dodgers have won what, 10, 11 NL West in a row.
Yeah,
So they're
that's.
all you got to do is get there to have a chance. So I think he saw the combination of familiarity, routine, LA area, and then adding it to an even bigger winning team. And then structuring the deal that way allows them to bring in Yamamoto and Glasnow and Teoscar Hernandez. And
And but
it's like Tom Brady.
to me, that's another thing that has to be talked about with the CBA. When it gets restructured, that contracts like that shouldn't necessarily be allowed.
What's funny is there have been a number of teams and players that have done that recently, but it didn't really get the attention because it wasn't 98% of the contract in
Right.
deferrals. Like Edwin Diaz, shouting out to our good buddy Tim again, he has the current record for relief pitcher salary, and he signed for, it was 5 for 102 or 103, I believe it was, but he has a good amount of deferrals in that deal. So the present value was only like 92 or 93. And I'm bringing that up because a former local pitcher in the Milwaukee area that you're very familiar with, who's a free agent, Josh Hader, people are talking about him wanting to break Diaz's record. But with how the present day money gets with the deferrals, he wouldn't technically need 105 million to beat Diaz if there were no deferrals. If he got like 94, I believe it was, right in that range,
Oh,
he would
okay.
technically have a higher earning, but who knows? It's
Right.
Do you like, does he care about that, or does he say, I want the total, more total money? So.
So in 10 years or 15 years, whatever that contract works out to be, do we stop referring to it as Bobby Bonilla Day and
It
start
has
refer
to be Shohei Day.
and start becoming Shohei Day?
It's going to be Shohei Decade.
Yeah. 'Cause I don't know, personally to me, and I think that I know that technically it's not, but to me it really comes off as kind of cheating. Because when you sign a contract like that, that's that ridiculous, it should hurt you now. You know, you should now, you know, you should have to figure out how to deal with it now. Now, as a Dodgers fan, I'm really happy about it. And for the next 10 years, everything looks, peaches and roses. But where, as a Dodgers fan, do you look and go, in 10 years, we got to pay all that money? Like,
Yeah.
that money's going, coming somewhere.
Their hope is in that 10 years, they've gone to the playoff 10 times. They've got multiple titles, a few more appearances, and all that extra money and revenue will pay for itself.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine how many,
As
how
a
many.
fan, you know, it's not our money. We all wish we had owners that were spending it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, I wish I had an owner that knew how to spend money smart instead of spend money stupid, which he has been doing for the last few years. You know, I have an owner that's willing to spend money. He's just not smart about
He sees the shiny car and he says, I'll overpay for it, and that's it.
Yeah,
And
he
talk
doesn't.
about some of the worst contracts ever.
Yeah, he doesn't look at the fact that the car just has a paint job. It's not, it's still a Pinto.
Exactly.
Where like, the Cubs have more money than the Brewers do, but the Brewers don't. The Brewers have to do the research and do the work and do the work everything out. But
Yeah,
no, I don't
I
know.
think that's the reason why Council left was he saw that he can still get the analytics and that with the Cubs, but they just have a bigger budget, which I can get count for Council, in a season in which you're taking your team in the division lead and you're trading away an all-star off of your roster to reset kind of some salary,
Right.
I can see where that would bug the manager.
Oh yeah, no, I totally get it. And I told I mean I from Council's perspective, I understand the decision that he made. From a Brewer supporter,
It stings.
it stings.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't know.
I will say, from everything I've heard, his bench coach who took over, who also coached at Notre Dame, is phenomenal. And I'm sure you have a Council 2.0 waiting to take over.
That is what I hear as well, and I hope that's accurate. I know a lot of people were mad because he doesn't have a name. He's not the big
Yeah.
sex the big sexy name that they were pushing for, but
But you knew that wasn't going to happen with how they operate.
no, that's not how the Brewers operate. And I think organizationally, the Brewers in the last 5 or 6 years have taken a massive step forward. And just instead of being mediocre at best or bad, figuring out how to scout the younger players. Now, Council had a lot to do with that. Hopefully the new guy gets to have the same voice in the locker room that Council had. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. I can't wait. And we'll
It's funny, is it that they still have pretty much an entire off season to go because Shohei and Yamamoto kind of slowed things down. I mean, we're sitting here January 8th and you've got like half of the top 50 free agents unsigned.
I'm honestly surprised, and you and I had been texting, and I kept saying it, and I'm shocked. I thought for sure that, like the weekend after Shohei signed with whoever he signed with, you would just see one domino after another fall, because that was the hope that half the league had, that we can get Shohei. I mean, the Cubs wanted him, Toronto had him, Angels were looking to keep him, the Dodgers wanted him, the Padres wanted him, the Yankees, even though they had been told repeatedly, you don't have a chance, we're like, no, we're gonna get him.
The Giants wanted him too.
So if I thought I had a chance at him,
You'd wait.
I wasn't gonna
Yeah.
start spending money and going after Blake Snell
Especially
or
if you knew it was going to cost you $700 million.
Yeah, so,
Then you had Yamamoto, who's under the deadline. And I wonder too if the staggering of the NPB postings has some more to do with it too, because you just mentioned Blake Snell. He's still out there, but the Shoto Imanga market. He has to be signed by Thursday. Thursday is his 30th day.
Okay.
And as an Angels fan, Angels, as a Cub fan, Cubs, Angels, it sounds like Angels, Cubs, and Giants are the three front runners.
Right.
And a lot of teams are probably who were in the mix there think, okay, he's going to make his decision before Thursday. I want to say for the third time, now we'll see the rest of the market go, but you know, who knows? It doesn't, I mean, that's the thing with baseball compared to other sports. You've got the more like 1 week where they can sign, and it's more hardened deadlines where MLB, just the whole off season. The
Right.
non-tender deadline's coming up the end of the week as well. So you could have a bunch of other guys who all of a sudden become available, or a team knows they're not going to tender a contract, so they work out some trades. I do think you should see some activity this week. Obviously, you'll have the automatic signing of the MPB pitcher, but I think that the tender deadline should bring some interesting stuff. Tampa's made a couple trades this week. I would be shocked if they don't make a couple more. So.
Yeah, and you got to watch a team like Tampa to what they do, because it's not going to make headlines, but they'll be sitting in the
They
playoff. They'll be sitting in the
always win.
play.
Don't trade with Tampa. Don't do it. Can't tell you how many times I've seen a trade be talked about for Tampa, and everyone's like, oh, why are they doing this? And at the end of the season, you turn around and you're like, oh, look what they did again.
Well, and I think for as much as the Dodgers are making all the big sexy moves that with getting Shohei and Yamamoto and Teoscar and this guy
Glasnow.
Glasnow, the Braves are a solid organization to begin with, and then they
Yeah.
go out and pick up Sale on that roster. How are you gonna, as much as I said, how are you gonna pitch to what the Dodgers have? How are you gonna hit against what the Braves have?
Yeah. Sale's interesting. You know, he's been up and down the last couple of years, but if Atlanta's picking him up, I'd be worried.
Yeah, well, I mean, because obviously that franchise for the last 30 plus years has known how to either rescue or get a pitcher going. I mean, when I lived in Atlanta for that, for 91 to 2000, 2001, I mean, look at who they had in that range.
Yeah. Hey, and we got to go to a game in person when we were out filming at the new era. I mean, this core of players, we're going to be talking about them for a long time.
Yeah, we are. Atlanta is the only stadium that I've been to three different, or the only team I've been to three different stadiums for.
Yeah.
I
You were
mean,
at
'cause,
Old and New Fulton, and then now the new one, Truist.
yeah, I was at Fulton County Stadium, Turner Field, and then
Turner.
Truist.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, not a lot of teams you can say that have had three parks in my lifetime anyway.
Yeah, no. I have a number of them that I can say I've been to bolt to two, but not three.
Yeah, I think St. Louis I've been to two.
St. Louis, the White Sox, Atlanta, and then the Marlins. You also have a bunch of new ones that I haven't gotten the chance to go to the second one. I have not been to New Rangers Park yet, but
Well,
I did get to go to the old one.
speaking of which, when we're done here, we need to have another conversation. So
Definitely.
all right, so I guess just to round out what we've been talking about, who would, if since you're the gambling expert, who are you laying your money down to win the Super Bowl?
Well, I have a pretty good preseason ticket on Baltimore at 40-1, and now they're one of the favorites. And then about 5, 6 weeks ago, when everybody's counting Buffalo out, I got them at a really, really good price. So I'm hoping to get a Buffalo Baltimore AFC Championship game, and then I've got a shot at one of those big tickets coming in. But I'm leaning right now. I'm leaning. It sounds chalky, but I'm leaning Baltimore, San Francisco. I think that they're playing very well, both of them, and I don't think it would be like the last meeting. I know Baltimore crushed them, but that game got away from the Niners real quick. I think it'd be a pretty tight game.
That's the one that Purdy threw four interceptions in, right?
It is, yep.
Yeah, I don't think that goes the same way.
Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I remember that one just got out of hand.
Yeah, it's I also have a I can send you it afterwards. I also have a preseason Lamar Jackson MVP bet that is going to be very nice. I just love the way they're playing right now. I know that that week off can sometimes do the wrong thing for teams, and they rested guys in week 18, so that's going to be pretty much 2 weeks off for a lot of them. So I'd love, you know, you with the reseeding in the NFL, you'd like to see how the games play out first, but I think the Ravens are awfully tough. The Niners
Yeah.
are awfully tough. And
I
then I think Buffalo, you don't want to play if they're hot. Honestly, I think the Dolphins could still make some noise if they can get through that first game. It's going to be, that's a cold weather game for them. It's supposed to be very cold in Kansas City. But both of those teams.
Wait, I th oh, so Kansas City isn't on the road in the first game?
No, Kansas City won their
Oh, okay.
division.
All
But they
right.
will be on the road after that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be the first time it doesn't run through Kansas City.
Right, yeah. I mean, I will, you know, to just continue to push this a little bit longer. I go back to that season where the Packers were 15-1, and they took a couple of weeks off at the end of the season where they were resting all the starters or only playing them for the first quarter.
Is that the year they lost to Pitt in the Super Bowl? Or is that the year they went
No,
out first round?
they went out first round to the Giants because they had
That's
the
right.
first round. They well, not the first round,
Their
but they had
first
the.
game. Their
Their
first
first
game.
game,
Yeah.
the Giants came into town and just steamrolled the Packers. And I don't necessarily know if other people agree with me, but I was saying from the get-go, like during the game, because the first half was bad. It was ugly. The Packers played like garbage. They started to turn around in the second half. Had there been a third half, I think the Packers would have won that game.
Yeah.
But I think what it came down to was they had basically every starter had 2 weeks off. Most starters had not even played a full game in almost over a month by the time they got to that game.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they are expected to turn it back on when the Giants were, I think that was the Team of Destiny year,
Was that the helmet catcher?
I can't remember if that was how, because I thought helmet catch was the year they kept the 49ers from, not the 49ers, the Patriots from winning the Super Bowl, being perfect. And I don't remember it being,
Yeah.
I'd have to look at it, but I mean it was one of the 2 years the Giants won the Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure. But it was one of those, like, so who knows ultimately if you don't sit everybody that the Packers don't still lose to the Giants, because that was just the stars aligned for the Giants that year. But I've always, I mean, I get it. Like, oh, you don't want to pay the players, you don't want to start them because what if they get injured?
Yeah, that's a
Yeah.
that do you're that's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because the same thing just happened to the Lions. A couple guys got hurt on Sunday in a game they didn't really need, but
Yeah.
that's, you know, it's football. People are going to get hurt.
Right. So, well, normally I ask some questions here, but I've had you on here long enough, so.
You can ask me some questions and edit away. I don't mind.
All right, let's go with my classic. If you could wedgie anybody in history, who would it be?
If I could wedgie anyone in history, who would it
Yeah,
be?
yeah. I mean, it could be somebody today. I mean, I had a Josh Rausch. He said one of his good friends because he thought his friend was a little uppity and he needed to be put in his place.
That's really funny. That's really funny. And then, or if I remember correctly, Nick said Napoleon. Is that
Right, some yeah, Nick said
right?
Napoleon. So I've had quite the range of answers. So
That is quite the range. How do I want to pick? Let's I want to pick one that won't make your listening audience upset. So we'll stay away from the, you know, the Kristen Yeliches of the world, and in that sense. But that's a great question. you know, I've never actually thought about that. I'm going to think about that for a minute, and we'll circle back to that one.
okay. All right.
Who I want to
If you, if,
wedgie.
all right, we'll come back to that one then. I guess we have one other one then. If you could live in any fictional world, like, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Bewitched, whatever, whatever fantasy world you want to live in, where would you pick?
That one I think is a little easier for me to answer. I think I would pick Harry Potter. I think that would be awesome to live in. You know, just, oh, I don't want to make food. You know, a quick little spell and bam, it's ready.
Yes, that would be nice.
That would be very nice, honestly. You know what? How about I stay in the same realm? You know who I'd like to wedgie is Malfoy.
Okay.
But I'm talking like early like Sorcerer's Stone, like early Malfoy, like when
Okay.
he's like a bratty kid.
Got it.
That, I think that would be a fun one to wedgie.
All right, there we go. Okay. I know you, well, I know you and Tim have a podcast coming out soon.
We do Pop
So,
Bases podcast.
okay, you want to promote that real quick and then.
Sure, yeah. Another one of our great friends that we met filming We Are Family, Tim Sternberg. We felt the inspiration from you guys. We loved your guys' work, and we're probably more a little bit more into the sports side of it, but we just thought we'd have a nice little full circle there. And we've already talked about it. We would love to have you on one of ours, so we'll definitely have to bring you back. But yeah,
Absolutely.
it's a bunch of us who met out filming a TV show in Atlanta, and we all became extremely close. It's crazy how close people can get when they take away your cell phones every day.
There
I think there's something to that.
is
So,
something to that, yes.
yeah, I can't speak for everybody, but I had an amazing time for 18 days and got to meet such great people and such great friends out of it between you and Nick and Tim and Andy and Maria and Michael and Richard, and I don't want to leave anybody out though. Everybody at our side, Chelsea and Nate. I mean, it was great. Jen, I hope I'm not leaving anybody out. I'm just naming
Franklin.
them off the top of my head. And Franklin, yeah, of course. And even Jamil and Jamal, I mean, the whole group of us out there, like, it was just such a phenomenal experience. I don't know if we'll ever get to do anything like that again. So I've tried to enjoy it and soak it up, and it was phenomenal.
Absolutely. And I was thinking, at some point I'll try to get maybe a couple of you on at the same time rather than just one on one.
Yeah, that'd be very fun.
In probably 8 weeks.
Eight weeks post Wednesday.
Yeah.
After we're all done.
Yeah, after there's
I
definitely.
can't wait to see you on there. Hopefully, about 8 9 days from now.
Oh man, I hope so. So.
I'm pretty confident. And I think that, you just got to pay attention. Who knows when you could pop in there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so one of these days I'm gonna have to stop saying this because, I just keep, beating a dead horse. But if you been doing this podcast for now, this will be episode, I think, 110. Yes, 110. And you still don't know how to end it, but you're gonna end it the same way every way anyway. Just remember, stupid never walks alone.
Comic books have been around for almost a century, and in the last 2 decades, we've finally gotten to see many of these characters brought to life in movies and on TV. On the Moving Panels podcast, we discuss movies and TV shows based on, inspired by, and adapted from the world of comic books. Join me and my guests as we discuss both the good and the bad from Marvel, DC, and even some of the lesser-known comic book companies. Learn what is and isn't from the comics, as well as our nerdy review of the movie or show. New episodes drop every Monday, and you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. So join us for Moving Panels, and I'll see you on the other side of the page.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and listen to an 80s flick flashback podcast once in a while, you could miss it. Do you love movies of a certain age? Do you miss the days of VHS tapes, VCRs, and the video rental stores? Does the thought of another 80s movie being remade seem inconceivable? My name is Tim Williams. I'm the creator and host of the 80s Flick Flashback Podcast. On each episode, I'm joined by guest co-host to discuss one of the many movies released in the 1980s. We share our first-time watch memories, our favorite scenes, and even learn some behind-the-scenes stories about the cast and crew along the way. New episodes are released every other Friday on your favorite podcasting platform. So make like a tree, get out of here, and go listen to an excellent episode of the 80s Flick Flashback Podcast. The ad is over. Go home. Go.